Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about how you can save a fortune on tax. Pay minimal tax, but still be making maximum profit. And I've actually put together a whole guide breaking this down, the 10 best ways to minimize your tax bill. So if you want that, we're going to put a link below. You can get the guide, or even better, listen to us talk about it. What could be more entertaining than that, hey?
Oh, of course.
Exactly. So why don't we start? There's a classic one. And the reason I want to talk about this is because this is talked about a lot, but it's talked about wrong.
Yes.
It's bad advice.
I feel like, is this the limited company or personal name?
Limited company or personal name. And the reason that they give bad advice is because they want a one size fits all.
Yes.
So the majority of gurus, the majority of experts, what they say is never buy in your personal name.
No.
Always buy in limited companies. So what we're going to do, number one, we're going to look at the pros of buying through a limited company. But then we're going to look at the pros of buying through your personal name. And then basically you guys at home, you decide what's better for you in your situation. Let's start with limited company. So the reason why everyone says you should buy through a limited company is, I don't know when, I think it was in 2016, George Osborne introduced something called Section 24.
Yes.
We've talked about this before on the show. Section 24 basically means you can't claim your mortgage interest payments as a tax deductible expense. So we'll give you an example. Let's say your rental income is £2,000 a month and your mortgage payments, your mortgage interest payments are £1,500 a month. You look at that. Any business would look at that and go, well, we're making £500 profit.
Yep.
Therefore, we should pay tax
on the £500.
Exactly. What they said was, no. While that's the case for every single business in the country, we're going to make it a bit different for property investors. So for property investors, you can't do
Classic.
It's basically, it's not a tax deductible expense. Instead, you'll have to pay tax on the full £2,000.
Yep.
And then you get like a small tax credit against the 1,500, right? So basically people were in a situation where if they had got high mortgages and the rent wasn't super high,
yep,
you could pay more tax than you could be earning in profit.
Oh yeah, it would wipe your profits out, wouldn't it? And you actually are down money.
Yeah. Now there's rumors that in the autumn budget, which is coming up next month, there's rumors that they might add national insurance contributions just for landlords. Again, it's crazy. So this will affect you again on this income, extra tax. So
it's like quite incredible how many different taxes they manage to just keep adding on, don't they? Just tax after tax after tax.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you were easily, because don't forget, you're also paying tax when you earn money, you're paying tax when you spend money.
Oh yeah, because you've already been taxed on your money. You go to work, you get, so I'm talking now about like when you've got like a job, you go, you earn, you're taxed. You go into a shop, you buy something, that's taxed.
Yeah, you pay council tax, road tax.
You get taxed left, right and centre. You think, oh, I pay this amount of tax. You won't even realise. People won't realise how much tax they're paying because you pay tax on absolute and time again. Mm. And then when you die, it's inheritance tax. And that money that's been taxed upon tax, guess what?
40% of it
is tax. Like, yeah. It's crazy.
It is crazy. So that's if you buy in your personal name, right? Now, if you own it through a limited company, Section 24, these new national insurance contributions, they don't apply, right?
Yeah.
So many people look at it and they go, you'd be crazy to buy property in your personal name if it's an investment.
Yeah.
You buy it through a company, you save massively. So buying it for a company, very tax-efficient way of receiving your rental income, which is great. So that's why people say never buy in your personal name. However, let's have a look now at the pros for buying in your personal name, because there's quite a few.
Yes.
I was actually chatting to a guy. So one of our students, we do a service, which is called Rate My Deal.
Yeah.
Right? So our students can send us a deal and we'll have a look at the deal. We'll assess it for them and we'll make sure it's any good. Let me tell you this deal. You can tell me if it's a good deal. And then we'll say, should he buy it in his personal name
or
should he buy it in his limited company? Right. So here's the deal. So it was a flat in London.
Yeah.
He bought it for 195 grand.
Okay.
Which for a flat in London,
yeah,
is a bargain.
Yeah, absolute bargain. Is it like really run down, really derelict?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it needed about 80 grand spending on it.
Yeah. All right, still so- not bad for
not too bad. So 195, 80 grand spending on it. The new value at the end, he's now I've gave him the advice, he's now done this, he's just revalued 400 grand, right? Brilliant deal. He's basically making like 120 grand.
Yeah, it sounds an incredible deal.
Yeah, fantastic deal. 120 grand profit, right?
I feel like there's going to be a but.
There's no but.
Oh.
But there is a question.
Okay.
So here's my question. Should he buy it in his personal name, or should he buy it through a limited company? Now, there's lots of variations. It depends.
Yeah, it does depend.
There's no easy right answer. So the first question you want to ask is, what's the plan with it?
Like, yes.
What does he want to do? And the answer in this case, he wanted to flip it. So he wanted to sell it, take out his 120 grand profit. Happy days. Well done him. And so, he was planning on buying it in a limited company.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, David, why are you buying it in a limited? Like, what's the reason? I'm not saying it's the wrong decision, but what's the reason? What's the rationale? And he said, well, to pay less tax. Because everyone knows you should buy for a limited company. And I'm thinking, well, Section 24 is not going to apply to you anyway, bro, because you're selling it.
Yeah.
So the big advantage of buying it for a limited company has gone when you're flipping it.
Because one of the big negs about a limited company is, by the sounds of this guy, I forgot his name already.
David. It's only your brother's name. It's just hard to remember.
And a mind blank. Is that getting money, that's great, but limited companies work if you just keep the money in the limited company. So that's great if you sell the property and then that money stays in the limited company to buy your next investment. But it sounds like David wanted to flip it to get the money for his own personal...
Well, there's another factor.
Then the problem is, if you're taking it out of the limited company, you're going to get highly taxed anyway.
Yeah.
So if you need the money personally, like if you want a passive income off the properties, that's when you have to consider that actually limited companies aren't always the best to buy in. And it sounds like David here wanted the money for himself, not to put into a company.
You're right, but you're jumping ahead. There's way more to it, all right? So, but you're correct. It depends on lots of things. What's your exit strategy? What do you want to do with the money? That's a massive question you've got to ask. First question I asked him was, you're buying it for a limited company. I said, well, is this your first property? That makes a difference.
Oh, yeah, massive.
Is it your first property? He said, yeah, I'm living at home with my parents. This is my first property.
So you can get...
So I was like, well, so could you live in this property then while you're doing it up? He's like, yeah, of course. Right, that makes a massive difference.
Massive difference.
Because straight away, the stamp duty on this property, if you bought it through a limited company, I think it was 11 grand.
Yeah.
If he buys it in his personal name, it's nothing.
Yeah.
So he's saving £11,000 in tax, stamp duty, land tax, immediately.
Yeah.
Straight away. So that's the first one. I then said to him, how are you planning on financing it? And he said, well, I tried to get a buy-to-let mortgage, but it's in too bad repair. So I'm getting bridging finance.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I said, if you lived in it, would you get a resi mortgage? He said, I don't know. I'm like, right, let's call my broker right now. So we called my broker while I was with him. Got him up on the phone. And guess what? He could get a resi mortgage on it. Because although it was in bad nick, it wasn't so bad that he couldn't live in it.
Yeah. It wasn't unlivable. It's unlivable for a tenant.
Yeah. Buy to let. No one's going to pay rent for
if
it.
If you want to live in it, like,
exactly,
crack on.
Right? So he managed to get a mortgage. Now that saved him thousands of pounds. I can't remember the exact figure, but thousands of pounds in interest. Because bridging, he'd have had to, number one, he'd have had to put down a 30% deposit. Now he was putting down a 10%.
Yeah, if it's your first and you don't own a property, it's almost crazy not to do it in your personal name because of the deposit.
Yeah, massive difference, right? And he was saving thousands of pounds in interest payments, right? Because now he's got a mortgage. It's really cheap. Bridging loan, which is what he was going to use, it was about 14, 15% interest.
Yeah.
So he saved thousands here. So much less stamp duty, much less deposit needed.
Yeah.
Much less interest needed, right? Next, on 120 grand profit, which is about what the flip was going to make, if he owned it for a company, well, the first tax he's going to pay is corporation tax.
Yeah.
Now, on 120 grand, that's 25%. That's like £30,000 in corporation tax.
Yeah.
If you own it in your personal name and you live in the property, property is tax exempt. You don't pay capital gains tax. So he saved 30 grand. Boom.
Yeah.
Right there. Massive. And the next issue, which is what you raised, what does he want to do with the money? Now, if you own it for a limited company and your plan is to reinvest the funds, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But if you want that money, if you're like, this is my job and I'm doing this to get paid, yeah. I want that 100 grand to live on, for example.
Then having it in a company.
Means you don't, having it in a company means you've got to pay income tax.
Yeah.
Which could be like 40%.
Yeah.
We worked it out. By the time we looked, compared, went through the deal and we were like, right, what's your, what are all your taxes? What's the extra interest? He was making 120 grand in his personal name, only 60 through the limited company. So having that conversation with me saved him 60 grand in tax
yep.
and extra interest payments.
I was going to say, I bet it well outweighed. I bet the scales are well in favour in that case of buying any personal name. But that's why you've got to be careful. You can't just go with one principle.
No.
Because also, you could argue it the other way. We've argued it that way. But you can't just go, so because of this example, obviously buying your personal name. Like, because there'll be other cases where it's the complete opposite and you'd save all the money buying through a limited company.
It also depends on things like your tax status, yeah. right? So like how much money are you currently, let's say you've got a property and this is your only source of income and it's making you 10 grand a year. You're not going to pay tax in your personal name anyway. So it doesn't matter, right? So yeah, there's lots of factors to bear in mind. So there are, probably the best example I've probably come across
yeah.
of how much you'd save buying it your personal name. And there are other examples where buying it in your limited company is better.
Yeah.
Exactly like you say. The truth is it's a case-by-case scenario and you cannot have a one-size-fits-all or even a rule of thumb.
No, because it really does. We've done both, haven't we?
We have.
And we look at it every single time. You just have to. You have to just weigh it up and just work it. It literally is. Just work it out. Which is better? You don't have to just think, oh, my principal is limited company. Just
yep.
when you find a deal, just work it out. It doesn't take that long to work out. Like we've just worked out quite comfortably there that David was much better buying it in his personal name. But you have to work it out property to property. And it depends what situation you're in. It's, yeah, like you say, all those factors we just said. And you just have to work it out per property.
Exactly that. And per individual. So it's very, very tailored. All right, next. Tax hack for you. This applies to everyone. So you don't need to be clever. You haven't to work it out, right? If you're a fan of buy, refurbish, refinance,
yes.
which is an amazing strategy, right? So what David was doing, you buy a rundown property, you renovate it, you do it up. You've got the potential to get some great tax hacks. Here's the first one. I would say when you're looking for these sort of properties, you want to look for derelict properties. Properties that have been empty for years. They're boarded up for a couple of reasons. Number one, no one wants to buy them.
Yep.
Right? So you rule out all the normal homeowners. It's only investors that are going to go for it. That's the first reason. Number two, you got some big tax advantages. So the first one is, again, going back to stamp duty. If a property is derelict, you can claim commercial rates of stamp duty,
yep.
which can be significantly less. In many cases, nothing.
Yep.
Okay? Which is huge because stamp duty is so expensive. If you're an investor and you're buying investment properties, the top rate is 17%.
Yeah.
17% stamp duty. It is like almost unfathomable. I know people, obviously we live in quite a nice area. The more expensive the house, the
more stamp duty.
More stamp duty you're going to pay. I know loads of people here that were looking to move. And then when they looked at stamp duty, they were like, literally, it's going to cost them £300,000-£500,000 in stamp duty. And they're like, you know what?
Yeah, so I actually think it's brought the housing market around here to a bit of a standstill, too, if I'm a bit honest. Because I do like a little evening look on Rightmove. Don't we all? Or is it just me?
I think it's just you.
Oh. Well, I just love to see what houses come up around here, see how much they're selling for, things like that. But they're just not moving. It's the same house. It's gone boring now. Like when I first moved down here, it was like exciting, the houses were coming on. Now it's just the same houses because they're just not selling. They built some new houses on one of the really prestigious roads. Both of them, they bought two next door to each other. They've been on for ages now, probably 18 months, 2 years. They can't vent them or sell them. But I think so many people around here now, they would like move, they'd upgrade. And there was a lot of moving within Beaconsfield. I mean, we've lived in 5 houses. They don't do that now, because how many friends have we got in the last 3 couples we know in the last 6 months have decided we're going to move and then renovate instead, because they were like, for the £400,000 we're going to spend on stamp duty, I'd rather put into a renovation. And we're not talking little renovations. Oh, we've done the inside, we've done a painted everywhere and put new floorings down. I'm talking the house front has been off.
Oh, yeah, like massive extensions.
The massive extensions.
It looks like a different house.
Yeah.
So almost a rebuild. It's a new shell.
Yeah, it's almost one step away from just knocking it down and rebuilding it.
Yeah.
But they'd rather put the money into that than just thinking, oh, I'll spend 400. Look, it's a lot of money, isn't it, just to spend on stamp duty for what?
Like, it's a ridiculous tax.
It is a ridiculous tax. And I think it's now around here, the houses are so expensive, so the stamp duty is so high. People just aren't moving. Unless they've got to move out of the area, they're not just upgrading their houses. They're renovating instead.
Yeah, I agree. So there you go. There's a good hack. All right, so next hack for you right now. And this is all about something called capital allowances. Now, this works on commercial property.
Yeah.
However, up until April this year, furnished holiday lets, aka residential properties that were being rented out as serviced accommodation or on Airbnb or booking.com, counted as commercial for the sake of this.
Yeah.
Right. So the example I'm going to give you is what one of our properties, and it's a residential property.
Yeah.
However, you can no longer do this on residential property unless you bought it before April this year.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone listening who bought a property before April 2025, and they have been renting it out as serviced accommodation, I'm about to save you probably thousands and thousands of pounds.
This is one of the best tax loopholes I think I've ever just... It shocked me. When I found out about this, it was brilliant. It's one of the most exciting ones.
Yeah. So let me explain how this works. So we bought a property in Lichfield and we bought it for £237,500.
Yes.
Now, when we bought that property, it's a freehold property. What are we actually buying?
So we're buying the house.
Yeah.
The structure, the land.
The land, yeah.
But we're also buying the carpets.
Yeah.
The boiler.
Yeah. The electrics,
like
the toilet,
yeah,
the tiles on the roof, everything, right? Yeah. You're buying the whole package. Now, some of those things that you just mentioned, you can claim back as a tax deductible expense.
Yeah.
Basically, not the structure, not the land, but a lot of the stuff inside the property are claimable. So, for example, the boiler, the wiring, the electrics, all this stuff, right? Now, you don't need to know exactly what can be claimed and what can't, because what you need to do is go to a capital allowance specialist.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, I just bought this property. I'm renting it out of service accommodation. How much of it can I claim back as capital allowances? Like, what can I do here? And they will assess it.
It is typically about 22 to 25% on the properties give you a rough
somewhere
idea.
Between 20 and 25%.
Yeah.
Exactly. In our case, it was 22.5.
Yeah.
Which... smack bang in the middle, which is 53,000 and something pounds, right?
Yeah.
So what that means is on day dot, before we even begin, we've got a 53.5 grand loss showing against this property.
Yep.
So how much do we make?
We make
a year,
about 15
about
grand.
15 grand, right? So year one, we make 15 grand, which we did. And they go, right, how much tax should you pay on that? Now, normally you'd have, if you own it for a company, you'd have your corporation tax, your income tax. And they're like, nothing.
Yep.
Because you've got a 53 grand loss. Now it's a 42 grand loss. Year two, boom, nothing.
Yes.
Now, year three, nothing. We can make 53 grand in profit over the years and we don't pay any tax.
Yeah.
Now, while you can no longer do this on residential properties, you can do it on...
serviced accommodation.
Commercial serviced accommodation.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you were going to say commercial, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Let's just pause so I know to cut. This is a fucking disaster, this show. You can do it on...
commercial.
Commercial property, which is why, by the way, we're no longer buying normal houses, residential properties, renting them out as service accommodation. We're now buying hotels.
Yes.
You can do it on hotels.
You can.
We just bought Staden Grange for £1.4 million. Guess what? Big chunk of that, we're going to be able to claim as capital allowances. So all of a sudden, what does that mean? We probably won't pay tax for the first year or two.
Yeah. Is it that?
Hundreds of thousands of pounds. I know people that have done this where they've made £1 million profit in a year and paid no tax on commercial properties. You don't even have to do it as service accommodation. This could be, you could be buying somewhere and renting it to McDonald's or Starbucks or an Amazon warehouse, right? If you've got capital allowances in there, you are laughing. So massive tax.
Yeah, that's an incredible one. Like, I mean, we banged on about it back in April to try and people were pushing properties through, weren't they? Just literally for this tax hack.
How much do you reckon if someone, you know, obviously we've got the whole list here and I'd recommend you guys, if you want the whole list, click on it. How much do you reckon you can be earning in the UK through your business? You know, using all the strategies that we talk about, pensions, you know, this sort of thing, paying yourself and your spouse, paying whatever it is. How much do you reckon you can be earning a year
regularly
and paying no tax?
You can get away with about £250,000, I reckon.
Yeah.
I think there's enough loopholes, strategies, obviously download our guide. To get away, you can earn that and you can pretty much pay very, very small amount of tax. Once you pass that, you're struggling. It's hard. You're going to have to just either suck it up and pay masses and masses of tax or move to Dubai, one or the other.
Yeah. Or there is a third way, Monaco.
We're not, you know, not voting out Monaco. Monaco, you know, go there as well.
But basically, you either, yeah. And the thing is, a lot of people think, oh, you know, you should pay your taxes and stuff. But you know what? The government wastes it so bad. It's like, why would I continue to give them money for them to blow it?
Yeah.
You know.
If you actually felt like, I was talking about this with someone the other day, that the government was really making good decisions. You were really contributing to society and the society was getting better. People probably wouldn't begrudge
you
quite
definitely wouldn't.
As much because you're helping the economy. How it's gone now.
Well, think, we avoid tax where we can, right, legally, but then we give money to charity.
Yeah.
Because we think that they're making good use of the money. If the government were making a good use of the money, you'd be like,
it is high, but
we need it. It's part of the country. Yeah, we got it about right. No problem. But when they do stuff like spend £500,000 changing their logo.
Yep.
When doing a job that I could have done on Canva in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And when they do things like spend £5.4 billion housing illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
You're like, how much money are they going to spend on Brit Card?
Oh, no. That's all the taxpayers' money. Like, it is crazy. And frankly, it annoys me to contribute to it.
Yeah,
it
does. The hell should we?
Yeah, for these silly things that I don't agree with.
And on that bombshell.
And we won't leave it on the Brit Card. We'll save that vamp for another day.
It is now time to end. I'm Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
We'll see you next week.